So yesterday, we began the first two of Hanuman's prayers to Lord Ramachandra, the island of Jabudweep is the title of the chapter, chapter 19, canto 5, and one of the things that we heard, prominent, Prabhupada was referring to Rupa Goswami's Lagu Bhagavatamrita, saying in Vishnu Damodara it says this, and Padma Purana it says that. Ram is the, and his brothers are the Chaturvyuha. Padma Purana says Narayana and the, some of this paraphernalia of Narayana. And Rupa Goswami explains in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, it's not a contradiction, it's different chatur yogis, yugas, or millenniums, Prabhupada's word. So Ram appears in multiple millenniums. A point of curiosity for me is, does Ram appear in every Treta Yuga? There's nothing that I've read that says yes or no. But at least we know this. He appears in different Treta Yugas. And when he appears, his presence is different. His Leela may also be different, and we know from different Ramayanas, there's, like what Prabhupada says, his way of explaining, there's a spool, he uses that term, my understanding of that term from how he expands on it is the previous way of showing motion pictures. That is a frame and a frame and a frame and a frame and a frame, and it's put on a spool of film, and it, the spool of film is run through the projector and it shows an image on the screen. So it's, that's the spool reference. So his pastimes are like a spool. It's not exactly a rerun. Then he explains that variety is the mother of enjoyment, and so there's differences each time the Lord appears, and it's to enhance his enjoyment because variety is the mother of enjoyment. At the same time, there's themes, and the themes have to do with rasa and the reciprocation of rasa with his devotees in different moods and mellows and humors. But the essential, he's the supreme enjoyer and he's enjoying his pastimes, and his devotees are enjoying hearing and chanting and remembering, etc., his pastimes. And their happiness is part of their elevation to the spiritual kingdom. So that's what we're attempting to do also. One of the comments that I didn't cover with verse number two, very short statement by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is Hanuman's devotion to Ram is so focused that he's not interested. He does not participate in hearing and chanting, remembering other forms of the Lord. It's just Ram. That's Hanuman. And there may be other Ram Bhaktas that like to hear other things and so forth, but that's Hanuman. So now we're going to continue this morning with chapter 19, texts 3 and 4. This verse 3 is the first of his prayers, and it begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya, and so forth. Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya. Translation, Prabhupada's Translation. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija mantra Omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind, acting just like an ordinary human being. You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Now, there's no purport in the given by Prabhupada, but I can read for you Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, text 3. I'd also like to read his translation, or at least this is Bhanu Swami's rendering, which is slightly different language than Prabhupada's. I offer my respects to the Supreme Lord, most praiseworthy, who is the personification of the best markings, qualities, and vows. I offer respects to the Lord who accepted teachings from others and who is worshipped by all types of people. I offer respects to the Lord who makes all good qualities the most excellent. I offer my respects to the Lord, worshipped by the Brahmanas, who is the great personality, the great king. Now, he doesn't put it superlative, it's just the great personality, the great king. And very brief, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary from Kramasandarbha. Very short. The opening line, Om Namo Bhagavate, indicates his Aishvarya. That is, he's Bhagavan, full of all opulences. Uttama Shlokaya indicates his Madhurya aspect. We discussed this yesterday, the elevated position of Ayodhya in the spiritual realm. It's at the topmost region of Haridam, and its excellence has to do with the Madhurya feature, the sweetness, the intimacy feature of Ram's pastimes compared to the rest of Vaikuntha. And finally, Arya means worthy of worship. That's what Jiva Goswami writes. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, because chronologically Vishwanath came after Jiva Goswami, and chronologically Prabhupada came after Vishwanath. He writes, I offer respects to the Lord who has marks worthy of worship, such as the flag and thunderbolt on his feet, qualities like wisdom, and vratas like being fixed in Dharma. Parentheses, Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya. To the Lord who teaches, who took teachings from Guru and Brahmanas. He's the Lord, but he showed exemplary character in this regard. Because you thought, quote, all people down to the washerman should be satisfied with my conduct. You are respected by all people, not just Brahma. Therefore, I offer respects to you, worshipped by all. Upasita Lokaya. You establish the highest excellence of reputation as being kind to Brahmanas, true to your promise, and being merciful. People are attracted by those qualities. On attaining Rama, all good qualities reach their perfection. Just as the best gold is proved to be excellent by the testing stone, so all good qualities are proved to be excellent when placed in Rama. Prabhupada has incorporated that little part of Vishwanath's commentary right in his translation. So we'll go on with text 4. Translation, BBT translation. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchitananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. And it's a long purport. Two full pages. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in various expansions as stated in Brahma Samhita. We all know this verse, so we can say it together. Ramadi murtu shakala niyamena tishtan nanavatara makarod bhuvaneshu kinto krishnak svayam samabhavak paramak pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Translation. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Ramanushring and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality Godhead known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramachandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird, Garuda, and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore, we may doubt whether Lord Ramachandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman, not Garuda, and that he that had neither four hands, nor the Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies that Ramachandra is as good as Krishna. Ramadi Murtushu Kala. Although Krishna is the original Supreme Personality Godhead, Ramachandra is not different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. Paragraph. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra, semicolon. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravana have no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form. But she maintained her original form beyond his vision. So there was a discussion yesterday about Virata. How was it possible that he touched Sita? So the commentary isn't specific to Virata, but it's the same principle. I'll read the sentence again. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hand, she gave him a material form. But she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words pratyak, prashantam, indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, kept themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. Paragraph. In the Upanishads, it is said, yam evaisha rinute tena labhya. The Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the Personality of Godhead, can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service. As stated in Brahma Samhita, we'll say it together. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hridayesha vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achincha ganasarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajan. Translation. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form as of Shyamasundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. Unquote. Similarly, in the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, etas tisro devata anena jivena. In this verse of the Chandogya Upanishad, the word anena is used to distinguish the Atma and Paramatma as two separate identities. The words tisro devata indicate that the body of the living entity is made of three elements, fire, earth, and water. What happened to air? Although the Paramatma enters the heart of the Jivatma, who is influenced and designated by a material body, the Paramatma has nothing to do with the Jivatma's body. Because the Paramatma has no material connections, he is described here as anama rupam niraham. The Paramatma has no material identity, whereas the Jivatma does. The Jivatma may introduce himself as an Indian, American, German, and so on, but the Paramatma has no such material designations, and therefore he has no material name. The Jivatma is different from his name, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. This is the meaning of niraham, which means, quote, without material designations. This word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankara, no I-ness, no identity. He has his transcendental identity as the Supreme. This is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami, which we're going to read. According to another interpretation given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, niraham means nirnish chayena aham. Niraham does not mean that the Supreme Lord has no identity. Rather, the stress is given by the word aham. The stress given by the word aham proves strongly that he does have his personal identity, because nir not only means negative, but also means, quote, strong ascertainment. Ascertainment means what? Ascertain, to understand, to grasp, to comprehend. Strong ascertainment. That's Vishwanath. So the prayers sound quite simple, and then our acharyas are drawing all kinds of nice things. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Not so long. He writes, quote, will not some people doubt that Rama is God, since he does not hold the conch and chakra, and does not ride Garuda, or display extraordinary powers? Unquote. Reply, let those who doubt continue to doubt. But I realize personally Rama as the Supreme Brahman. I surrender to Rama, who is a state devoid of Maya. Doubt. But even a purified Jiva is devoid of Maya. Reply, his form is devoid of Maya by the power of his form. Sva Tejasa. Thus, he is invisible. Pratyak. Na chakshusha pashyanti rupam asya. One cannot see his form by the eye. Katha Upanishad. Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tas yaisha atma vrinute tanum swam. From Mundaka Upanishad. He reveals his form to that person whom he chooses. He is thus devoid of all disturbances. Doubt. Does that mean that Rama cannot be seen? Reply, he can be realized by a person having fine intelligence, because he is without material name and form. Etas tisro devata anena. Then the same Chandogi Upanishad reference. Entering the three devatas as Jiva, I will reveal name and form. Final paragraph. The three devatas mean fire, water, and earth. I surrender to the Lord with certainty. I surrender without anghankara. The devotee thinks, quote, surrender is accomplished by the Lord, by his mercy, not by me, who have false identity as the doer. And that's not all. There's Jiva Goswami's commentary, which so one of the recent translations, works of Bhanu Swami, finally, because he was putting it off and putting it off, but he finally did it, is Kramasandarbha. Kramasandarbha is like what Prabhupada did from the first canto to the final canto, all verses. He skips some verses. He makes no commentary for some verses. But it's the whole 12 cantos, verse by verse. There's another, it's just the 10th canto, verse by verse. And then the third is the Sandarbhas, which is according to topics. So like Srimad Bhagavatam is so important. He made three commentaries. And in his Kramasandarbha commentary on this verse, he just quotes his commentary from Pritisandarbha. So the Sandarbhas are divided into three, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, because that's in one sense, it's a commentary on Bhagavatam, which is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is divided into those three. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So the final one of the six is Prayojana. And rather than calling it Prema, because we're accustomed to Prema Prayojana, he likes the word Priti. So it's Priti Sandarbha. So in Pritisandarbha, he makes reference to this. If you remember, there was this little short reference that this Uttama Shlokaya indicates his Madhurya feature. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate indicates his opulent feature, his Aishwarya feature, and then his Madhurya feature. That's Ram. He's the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, with a lot of sweetness. So that's Pritisandarbha speaking on this verse. It's long. Svarupa Gyan is shown by, within this text, four, Yat Tad Vishuddhanubhava Machena Ekam. Actually, it's not from this verse, it's Canto 5, Chapter 10. I surrender with certainty to the Lord, who is realized as one alone. And note that Prabhupada has that included in his commentary on this verse also. Anyway. Yat Tat means the famous dark green form of Rama. He is said to be one manifestation only, Matram, since he is considered to be made of properties emanating from his Swarup, such as form and qualities, like the qualities of whiteness or brilliance in the light of the sun. So the brightness of the sun is one of his, this, the qualities of the sun. It's a lakshana of the sun. And then there's the sun, of which it has some lakshana. So the features of Rama are his attributes emanating from him. That the properties are his Swarup Shakti was established in Bhagavat Sandarbha. No. Bhagavan has bhagas, and some of those bhagas, the unlimited opulences, and when he exhibits his opulences, it shows some feature or something. So that was already established. Thus, the Lord is one only, Ekam. His Shakti is also beyond Maya. Sva Tejasa Dvasta Guna Vyavastam. What's that? He is devoid of Maya by the power of his Swarup Shakti. He is devoid of all disturbances. Prashantam. He is realized only Anubhava Matram. Matram. This is because he has not seen Pratyak. Then he quotes some other messages, Katha Upanishad. One cannot see his form with the eye. From Katha Upanishad, the Lord reveals his form to the person he chooses. Why? He is without material name and form. Chandogya Upanishad. Entering those three devatas as Jiva, I will reveal name and form. Paragraph. This is because he is without ahankar, niraham. The word atma, mentioned in the Upanishad reference to the jiva shakti of paramatma, the angsa of paramatma, right? Mami Vangsa, we discussed this yesterday. That is made clear with the phrase anena jivena atmana, quote, entering the three devatas, unquote, means, quote, absorption in upadis, like fire, water, and earth. That occurs because of the imposition of ahankar on the jiva. That is, the jiva identifies with those things. That's through the agency of ahankar, and that's the meaning of he enters as jiva. Situated as antaryami, the Lord is devoid of names and forms produced as upadis, since he is not covered by matter, though situated in it. Since the Lord is devoid of ahankar, revealing material names and forms does not apply to him. And then final reference from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9. Quote, the form of Rama is not perceived by everyone. He is realized by the pure-hearted. Sudhi yopa lami banam. By a pure heart he is realized in his swarup. Brahma says, that's this Canto 3, Chapter 9 verse, O Supreme, I do not see your Supreme Form. So that's a section dealing with creation. There's several sections in the Bhagavatam that deal with the universal form and the process of creation, because the process of creation is connected to the universal form. That's just being created as the universe, and then the universal form and so forth. Yesterday evening, we were discussing the sage's appreciation for the seeing the form of Lord Ram. And the Sri Vaishnava commentators were making reference to Bhagavatam, where the Vasudev state, that the state of pure consciousness, permits one to then see, and in fact, the personality of Godhead comes unto one who has the Vasudev state of consciousness. Which isn't wrong. The preference that Prabhupada makes in his commentary is not making such emphasis, although these commentaries, even Jiva Goswami is making these messages. The Lord becomes visible for one who has pure consciousness. And one converse, one who doesn't have pure consciousness, he's not understood. Sita is not understood. Ram is not understood. They see something and they see, you know, material because that's their consciousness. They can't see spiritual form. And Prabhupada's emphasis is the Brahma Samhita verse where when one is prema anjana, where the anjana or the ointment, the cosmetic is commonly how anjana is used, but the pulp is how it's translated here of prema is smeared on the eye, then one can see. And one can see not only outside, one can see inside, and when one sees inside, it's Shyamasundara form, which is not the Paramatma form. It's the Shyamasundara form. That's the Brahma Samhita message. This is a lot of detail. Just referring again to the conversation yesterday, one of the young American persons present for the little discussion with the new people that Pratibahu is interacting with wanted to know the difference between Christ consciousness and Krishna consciousness. And the short answer that I gave without all of what we're doing this morning is less mature, more mature. So what's there in the teachings that Christ gave was right. And he was teaching love of God and take shelter of God and love God with all your heart, mind, and strength and so on. But then without understanding who that lovable person is, it's not the same as one who understands in detail that pure, lovable, all-attractive person. Love is stimulated, according to Rupa Goswami's teachings. They're udipans, or stimulations of ecstatic love, to hear what we're hearing. Now, we're a little covered, so we're not, may not be stimulated to ecstatic love. But the potency of stimulating ecstatic love is within the hearing of these things. That's what the Bhagavatam is doing, is what Hanuman is doing. He is stimulated. And he's sharing in part the glories of Lord Ramachandra that he appreciates. And some portion of this, what he appreciates, has to do with the world in which we live. You know, the universe. And how it is that he's beyond the universe. although he's within the universe. So like these distinctions, these are important distinctions, because some people don't make these distinctions. That is, within the body there's two. It's explicitly stated in Bhagavad Gita, and some persons read the Bhagavad Gita verse and say this means that. But there's two knowers within the body. Kshetragya cha api mam viti. Prabhupada's one lecture on this verse said, in one word, cha, Krishna has defeated Mayavad philosophy. Because the previous verse is the living entity, the knower of the field, is one and different than the field. And then there's another cha, kshetragya cha. There's another knower of the field. So it's two. Mayavad philosophy is defeated. He knows all fields. And so that's a message that Prabhupada would repeat. It's very simple to understand. A farmer, an agriculturalist, knows his field. And then the landholder knows all fields. May not know in the same manner as the farmer knows his field, but using that imperfect metaphor, the personality of Godhead knows perfectly all fields. He is the supreme knower, and it's not the same as the individual knower. The individual knower cannot become the supreme knower. So our Vaishnava explanation is now here expanded in the graduate study, Bhagavatam, and through the commentary of our acharyas, we're getting a really clear picture. And, in simple language, Prabhupada would explain, the Vedic terms, the Upanishadic terms, some of which are quoted here, that he has no name, he has no form, he has no activities, he has no qualities, is to be understood, no material name, no material form, no material qualities, no material activities. But if it's a full stop, then what are you left with? The truth is he has no name, he has no form. So it's an incomplete understanding. How do you get a complete understanding? By Vedanta Sutra and the proper understanding of Vedanta Sutra, which is a summary of Vedanta Sutra being a summary of all the Vedas, the commentary by the author of Vedanta Sutra. Because Vedanta Sutra is Vyasadeva's composition. The Vedas that he compiled is not Vyasadeva's composition. His summary of all the Vedas is his composition. And then the Bhagavatam is his explanation of Vedanta Sutra. So commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which Baladeva Vidyabhusan made, is following Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a long story. It's a nice story. But because there was challenge, Lord Chaitanya's line has no commentary, so it's not authentic. You have to have the commentary in Vedanta Sutra. So to settle, he made Sri Bhasya, Govinda Bhasya, which is just following Srimad Bhagavatam. Only previously, the very faithful Jiva Goswami, in order to not supersede Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, there's no need for commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he didn't make commentary on Vedanta Sutra. He wrote the Sandarbhas, which is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. As far as I've understood, I may not have the correct understanding, but in the composition of the Sandarbhas, his methodology is 1, 2, 3. He makes a declaration. He then supports the declaration by Srimad Bhagavatam primarily and other sources which he identifies at the very outset of Tattva Sundarbha. He then deals with those who would disagree, the Purvapaksha people, some people would say, and then he addresses the Purvapaksha, and then to the address, some people would say, and then he addresses that, and that's his methodology. But the assertion that at the very beginning, which Srimad Bhagavatam supports, is Vedanta Sutra, expressed in his own words, in his, you know, without saying, this is Vedanta Sutra text number such and such. He just makes a declaration. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam's way of picturing that particular Vedanta Sutra statement. It's brilliant. Received from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And, you know, not same structured manner, but Jiva Goswami gave it that structure. And Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. The vast portion of it being Sambandha. And one Sandarva on Abhideya, Bhakti Sandarva, the biggest. And then the final one, Priti Sandarva, Prayojana. But the vast part is having a proper understanding of Sambandha. And then different categories of understanding Sambandha, which is what he's doing here, what we just read. It's Priti Sandarbha making reference to Bhagavat Sandarbha, which is part of the Sambandha Tattva. And you didn't have a computer. To look up verses. He just had, you know, special intelligence and empowerment and a memory and, you know, gifts from Krishna to do what he was doing. So now back to the chapter 19 of Canto 5. Hanuman is expressing essences that are some in the category of Sambandha again, and some in the category of Prayojana again. He has love for Ram, and the love that he has for Ram is supported by who Ram is. So he's disclosing who Ram is to stimulate our love for Ram. Not just sentiment. Love of God. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. With proper understanding of who he is. So that the love has a strong foundation. And sometimes, because living entities are covered, it takes a while to get uncovered. It takes hearing again and hearing again and hearing again. And so themes surface again and again, which is just fine, because it's for our benefit. So that when we get, let's say, to the ninth canto, we can have more of an understanding of Ram. And we get to the 10th canto, we can have more of an understanding of Krishna. And our great acharyas are gifted at presenting right thing at the right time for their audience. So, for example, these Chandogya, these references from the Upanishads that are indicating one can see the Lord when one's consciousness is pure. He reveals himself to one whose consciousness is pure. Is absolutely correct. And what's that state of pure consciousness? It's love. And when one's eyes are smeared with love, then one can see. One can see Shamsundar. Or, in the case of Hanuman, he's only interested in Ram. One can see Ram properly, not improperly. So if we want to hear about Ram, we hear from Hanuman. Because of his love. And our great acharyas are helping us to understand what it is that he's seeing and what it is that he's saying so that our love for him can also be stimulated. including his relationship with creation. It's not a cosmology discussion. It's a, but it's not totally separate from it either. If we have a proper understanding of material nature, then it will help us to have a proper understanding of the Lord's form. To have a proper understanding of the Lord's form will help us have a proper understanding of material nature, the world around us. And, you know, the struggle that people have with being in a world that's, you know, very powerful. It's forces of conditioning are very powerful. Forces of conditioning upon us, very powerful. Not easy. I like what we're doing. In advance of Ram Navami, by the time Ram Navami comes, we'll be like ready. This evening's discussion is going to be a simple review of these prayers of Hanuman with visuals. So a PowerPoint presentation and some descriptions of Ram's life at the beginning and then the prayers and going through what the prayers are saying. They're important. So, any discussion?
I hope a kind of clarifications. The one was yesterday when we spoke about Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna also has, you know, kind of an expansion. So I was thinking when you read about Garuda, Garuda is also Jiva. I don't know. Please clarify. So Garuda is also expanding based on, you know, whichever Vishnu forms it takes, Garuda is always there as Vahana. So I don't know. Please help me on that. That's first one. The second one was, you said Hanuman, he is not interested. Again, whether hearing, chanting, remembering, the only thing he does is service. That means what I understand is the...
Wait a minute.
Maybe I'm actually...
He's engaged in hearing and chanting.
He's engaged in hearing and chanting. Okay.
And remembering.
All the three.
Abundantly.
Right. So, because the essence is always serving.
But that's service.
Service. Because of...
Is that not service?
It is.
It is.
It is. Okay. And the third one was Govinda Bhashya, as you explained about Kuldev Vidyabhushan. I heard that when he went to in Jaipur,
yeah,
that Radharani and Govinda, they were separate for some time because the people there were Rama Bhaktas. So when the king took them at some point of time, they said, how can see Rama and Sita, they were married.
Yes.
But Radha and Govinda, you know, Radha was not married to Krishna.
Yeah.
So how can this happen?
Yes.
So they were separate actually.
I never heard that they were separate. In response to the challenge that they were put separate. Rather, this challenge stood and they stayed together. So they wanted justification for how is this?
So what I heard was from one of the Chopadi devotees, he was telling that... for some time, the king was also confused. Then he said, you know...
Yes.
And then they were actually separate.
I don't know that
for some time. And then that's why Govinda came, you know, it came, the message reached Vishnu Chakra Thakur, and the Vishnu sent his Baladev Vidyabhushan to Jaipur, and Lord Govinda revealed him, and all the Govinda Bhashya was written in 1 month. And when he read that, they were all, you know, convinced. That's how it came through.
Okay, all of that is fine, consistent with everything that I've heard for 50 years, except for the king was confused, so he separated Radha from Govinda. Never heard it.
My wordings are not right.
Well, it may be that the Chaupati devotee said that. I'm just commenting, I never heard that. And, you know, without going through the research that I've done and others that, I'll say it. One of Prabhupada's disciples, Dayananda Prabhu, during his marriage with Nandarani, he wrote a two-part article for Back to Godhead, and I know Dayananda. He is a meticulous researcher. He doesn't, you know, it's not there. So I haven't done that meticulous research. He had. It's not there. Now, maybe somebody in Chaupati knows something that Dayananda didn't know, and nobody else seems to know that I know. There's other, without going into it. You know, there's other references, and it's not mentioned at all. So maybe he misunderstood, maybe he knows something nobody knows, maybe he, you know, banged his head against a wall before he gave his class and said something that's not there. I don't know.
Maybe my understanding.
I'm just going to, you know, like, leave it to the side. If you want to check further and come back to me with something further, great. But, you know, go to the Chaupati speaker and say, where's the reference? You said this. Where's the reference that for this? Radharani was put separate. The Pujaris wouldn't stand for it. Their life is Radha Govinda. And the king is not about to interfere with their life and Radha Govinda. So I doubt that he did that because somebody's saying something. He was confused. His lineage, this is the history as I understand it. His lineage prior to him was Principal Rambhaktas. And that's how the Ramanadis received their remuneration. The king supported their worship of Ram. And then it was fine even when Radha Govinda came because the kings were supporting. But this, you know, current king, he really liked Govinda. He liked Krishna Bhakti. And they were like, uh-oh, our breadline is being cut. So then they started doing what people do when they feel their breadline is being cut. They started doing, and without the, they started saying things and asking the king for answers. The king didn't have answers. He's not a pundit. So he asked the Brahmins, the Pujaris. They're not pundits. They sent messages to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who understood that the train is coming, and he trained up Baladev and sent me, you're younger, you go. And then, you know, there was the, so that's the story. And then there was this, not that Radharani was moved, but it was this, you know, hubbub, and it needed to be settled. So he went, and he explained some things. But, you know, well, where's your commentary in Vedanta Sutra? You say that you're with the Madhva line, and what your teachings are not within the Madhva line. We don't see Radharani next to Krishna in Madhva's line. What's the justification for this? You need commentary in Vedanta Sutra that shows the justification. So it's there in his commentary, specific, in Govinda Bhasha. There are specific references that explain why it's just fine having Radha next to Krishna. But it doesn't say specifically, here's the controversy, here's the answer. But it's within the commentary. And, you know, you have folio. You can look up Baladev Vidyabhusan, the article by Dayananda Prabhu, and it's two parts, and it's very detailed. Lots of details, names and places and things. Chronologies. Okay.
What about the Garuda?
Don't know, but I don't think it's really critical whether it's Shakti Tattva or Jiva Tattva. if Shakti Tattva, no problem for multiple Garudas, and Jiva Tattva, that's a mystery to me. Like, you know, multiple Arjunas. How is that? It's a mystery. For Krishna's pastimes, he arranges it somehow. Can jivas expand? Mystery. If the Lord wants, he can do anything. That's the you know, simple answer, but, you know, is that the answer? He just wants, and so he wants Arjuna to be with him, and so multiple Arjunas. How, what's the technology and the scriptural support? I do know what Prabhupada said about that. Okay.
Guru Maharaj, you made this reference to the Lord can be realized by one who has finer intelligence. I think it's from Jiva Goswami's reference. That prompted me this question. In the beginning days when we are hearing especially Lord Krishna's pastimes, you were discussing the Govardhan Leela and also Lord Ramchandra's pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Initial days, it used to be like, how could that be in that kind of a little bit challenging mode? But these days, I'm seeing a tendency, it's all Leela. It's kind of shutting off that intelligence, I feel. How can I balance and...
Well, Leela means the Lord's Shaktis are working. That requires intelligence to understand the Lord has unlimited Shaktis and he can extend them and withdraw them. That's spiritual intelligence. We can't do that. He can do that because he has unlimited Shaktis, that they're subsets of his Leela Shakti or his Atmamaya Shakti or you know, he has different Shaktis and they are subpotencies. So it doesn't shut off intelligence. Now, why this Shakti and that Shakti and, you know, our great Acharyas, they understand it. I don't understand it other than that the principle. It's not, so, just like, I mean, you know, how are we doing what we're doing right now? This camera here and, there are lots of things I don't understand. That requires, there are people that understand. That's material intelligence. They can build machines like this. I don't know how to do that. But I, you know, I accept that it's a machine and people are, you know, it's doing what it's doing. I don't know how to even make it work. Which buttons to push. So that's material intelligence that I don't possess. And then there's spiritual intelligence that I don't possess, but the spiritual intelligence principle that is not shut off is the personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies. And there's subcategories of those potencies and so forth. Oh, now I understand. So my discerning capacity has accepted. It's very reasonable. Or say it the other way. It's very unreasonable to say he doesn't have potencies. He has potencies. He has unlimited, and this is Bhagavat Sandarbha. Positively and then negatively. Bhagavan means he must have unlimited and inconceivable potencies. Negative. If he doesn't have unlimited and inconceivable potencies, then how can he be God? Then he's something he's less than. He doesn't have potencies. He doesn't have, inconceivable potencies. That's a discerning event. He must. Now, some of our acharyas have greater understanding of those shaktis than we do, the sub-potencies of his spiritual potencies. Okay. Some online questions?
Premananda Mataji is asking, in Udupi, Hanuman is worshipped as a servant of Krishna, which is kind of unusual.
Yes.
A lot of importance of Hanuman worship, even though Krishna is the presiding deity. What is the reason?
Well, this Madhva's line, I'm not, scholar of Madhva's line, but his line says there's avatars, and principle amongst the avatars is Krishna, and somehow within Krishna is everything. So on different days of Vaishnava calendar, Udupi Krishna is dressed according to different personalities, different forms of the Lord. Krishna can manifest himself like this. Krishna can manifest himself like that. So it's intuitive. It's not like I don't know anything authoritative, but intuitively, Hanuman is worshiping Ram. And when they show or say, however it's done, Hanuman is worshiping Krishna. He's seeing Ram, worshipping the form of Krishna. He's seeing Ram, because that's Hanuman. That's just intuitive. Because of his bhakti, his Ram bhakti, it's very singular. Wherever he looks, he sees Ram. And why not? Even, the Rakshasa Maricha, when he, became intimidated by Ram, he was seeing Ram everywhere. In his dreams, in his heart, in his, in the trees, in the forest, everywhere he would see Ram. Not with bhakti, but, with fear. So Hanuman's going to see Ram, whatever he's doing. I don't know any more detail than that. Would it be worship of Hanuman?
Surabhi Mataji from China. Guru Maharaj, Lord's form and self is identical. How about his eternal associates?
Well, eternal associates are eternal. There's a short answer.
This is a question from Leleshwari Mataji and Veda and Vaishnav. They feel that they are not able to understand how to ask this question, but the question essence is, what can help them remember these prayers and help them in their daily sadhana?
Well, recite them. Recite them with devotion, then they go in. And then, the mysteries may gradually become revealed, and as mysteries are revealed, that it'll help one remember.
Radha Duti Mataji's question, she has two questions. First one is, appreciating Lord and his devotees' qualities is something the Vedic literatures are filled with.
Yes.
How to see and appreciate qualities in others genuinely, especially those close to us and with whom we may have our triggers?
Well, it's just using this language that we spoke about yesterday evening. It takes Vasudeva consciousness. Or say it the other way. If to the degree that our consciousness is contaminated, we won't. We'll see something else. We'll see the covering, and we'll see, I like this covering and I don't like that covering, and we'll, you know, we'll do the material thing because of our contaminated consciousness. So how to is come to the stage of pure consciousness and check one's tendencies, that the material consciousness tendencies. The essence of that is I want to be the enjoyer of. Everything out there is meant for my enjoyment. If it's not giving me enjoyment, then there's something wrong with it, because it's meant to give me enjoyment. It's material consciousness.
The second part for this question is, at times one may genuinely even want to do this, but fails repeatedly due to prior impressions.
Do what?
Do the appreciation.
Okay.
How to gain clarity and strength to keep trying and not to go to the guilt zone?
Well, same thing. It's, you know, the modes of nature, and don't go to the dark modes of nature. Go towards the light. And keep striving by right means, and you'll get to the light. You'll become purified with faith in the bhakti process without the mode of ignorance. Reduce, go toward the light.
From Mahabhagavata Das, STA. Hare Krishna, thank you Maharaj. What are the other examples where nir does not mean not?
Well, it does mean not, but what does not mean? I don't know if I said that, or that even our Acharya said nir means something other than not. But what's the implication of not? It's not material form, not material name, not material qualities. It means what it means. So, but, you know, what is, if there's no material, what is it? You know, there are spiritual qualities, spiritual form, spiritual name.
And then is a question from Amara Mataji. The reference she was quoting is about benefit of hearing. To take up any devotional service like hearing, chanting, reading, etc., I think of some spiritual benefit as I am not on that level of doing it causelessly. Will this tendency purify
yes.
by just continuing?
Absolutely. Keep doing it. It's scriptural, besides practical experiences, mode of goodness is, this is good for me, this will purify me, this is to be done. Mode of goodness. And devotional service influenced by that will carry one to Shuddha Bhakti.
And then Sthira Mataji, my understanding is Vedas already existed and Vyasadeva compiled them
yes.
as Vedanta Sutra and then wrote a commentary on which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Vyasadeva is not the author of the Vedas, but a compiler. Is that a correct understanding?
My understanding may be wrong, but my understanding is what I said. And that my understanding is, what I said was, Vedanta Sutra is his compilation. It's his work. It's his expression of his understanding of the Vedas. Vedanta Sutra is in sutra form. Now, I'll be happy to double check, but that's my understanding. It's not just he compiled what already existed, Vedanta Sutra. He compiled the Vedas, and then to summarize, he wrote Vedanta Sutra. That's my understanding. I'll double check. And if we'll report tomorrow morning if I might found out differently. That's it. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki. Or Pimanandi.